Well, I did last week, you did this.
I'll do it this week.
Y'all do it wonderfully.
I did it last time. We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. If you would bow your heads, please, I'll do the invocation. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity we have together to do business in the name of our city and of our airport. Bless the decisions we make here, Lord, and bless the approach that we take to every thought that we have. Thank you for this great country we live in, a country that allows us to do things like this. And bless the leadership of this country, the military, and the first responders who are protecting us at this time. We ask that in your Son's name, amen.
Amen. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Terry Crawford.
Here.
Randy Klein.
Here.
Jerry Zout. Howard.
Here.
Chuck Savage.
Here.
We have quorum.
Okay. Minutes of June 22nd.
I'll move approval.
Second.
Any deletions, additions, or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Approved. Unfinished business, aviation terminal building update.
Yes.
The city manager, city airport manager.
Thank you. Thank you for the promotion. Okay, so city council approved the task work order number 6 with Michael Baker International. $138,851. Gives them 110 days to complete the 30% design and to provide the design criteria package. That basically takes them all the way through November. We got a series of drawings from them. We've got some color elevation renderings to look at. This is what we're considering. Let's see if I can get a focus a little bit better on this. You do have copies in front of you too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where our white screen went, so the colors will be a little off on this tan paint, but that's one version. We're looking at maples around the building, not palm trees. It's more compliant with our wildlife mitigation plan. It won't attract all the little brown birds and black birds and won't produce berries and things like that. That one, it's got kind of a stone base around the bottom. Here's another version with the white trim with more of a stucco base. And then this one is with the white trim with a red brick with a
wash.
Yeah, white wash on the. Yeah, there you go. You got the picture.
Yeah, I like that.
So that's what what we're looking at. This is the layout during the construction. This is not the final area because we've got a staging area and whatnot over by the parking lot. But this is purely for construction and just meant to give you an idea of what the footprint of the building will look like in relation to the apron. Right here, you can see the apron. It's a significantly bigger building, so it will be closer to the apron. Roughly about the same location, street side. Access to the apron will be on the south side of the building, and this still shows that there's enough room to put a 20,000 square foot hangar with a lean-to office on the side right here, so we can have that associated with the FBO operations.
You know, one time that parking lot looked huge, and it was, something that we got all kind of extra parking places, but it's full right now and we aren't even using the terminal. So I assume there's a plan in place or will be to better govern who parks there and rental cars.
Yes. There will be. Discussed it with staff. Right now there isn't a need to really step up the policing of the cars and delineate who gets what out there. It's all car rental traffic, but there will come a time when we'll have to delineate parking spaces for rental cars, Ready Return, Shelter Aviation, the restaurant. We'll have to do that for sure.
Well, the other thing that you get, people rent cars and they leave their personal car and they take a rental car.
They do.
And there's a lot of drop-off like that, because I have people in my company, because we encourage them doing that. It's better to rent a car than pay mileage to go to Atlanta or so.
Right.
So we do that quite often, but...
So long-term parking, we'll just have to educate the car rental people to make sure that their customers park in the appropriate spots.
What becomes of this building when that building is built?
I believe Shelter will be relocating the flight school to this building.
I see.
Assuming they can negotiate a fee and all that stuff.
Would that take the whole building up?
This whole building?
I think the flight school is scrambling for additional space.
I see.
So I believe that they would utilize the whole facility, including the restaurant, for whatever purpose. Maybe to repurpose the restaurant. But this looks good. I'm happy with this, with the layout. We looked at maybe pushing the street side frontage of the building closer to the parking lot. It would eliminate one row of parking here and kind of squeeze things in to give it a little bit more distance from the apron, but we abandoned that idea. Having the larger drive-through open area on the street side is beneficial.
Well, one thing, and this is something that city management and city staff and the council, everybody may need to get involved in, but the sheriff's complex that was next door, mm-hmm. The original intent of that was to help the sheriff at the time to be out here. There was nothing else there. And at the time, we were looking at airline service, for the possibility thereof, which that started in 86, and that went for quite a while, and we exhausted every opportunity that we could find to do that, and we're not successful. But the sheriff originally entered into a lease, and I don't know who it would have been in 86, but it was for back when that was first done. I believe it might have been Ergel. Because they were buying helicopters and they were buying surplus buildings and so forth. And that was really supposed to be kind of on a, not a month to month exactly, but it was designed to be there, and if we ever needed that space, they would work toward moving somewhere else. Now, over the period of time, a lease has been done, but I'm not sure the sheriff's office is still not amenable to doing that. We'd have to talk to the sheriff, have to talk to the management, kind of look at that, because there's other places on the airport they can locate things we might be able to do, and that space up there is going to be a necessity going forward, I'm quite sure.
So I have some information to provide the board in that light. I did have a conversation with Sheriff Woods. Not necessarily abandoning the lease, they have a long-term lease on that now, but he is agreeable to giving up essentially that much space of their lease so that we can utilize it for the hangar and expansion of parking or any of the facilities related to our terminal project. So he is willing to do a lease amendment to vacate Sheriff Woods.
Okay. Did we actually talk with him?
I did.
Okay.
I did. And not only that, but the sheriff, Chief Graham, the police chiefs from Bellevue are looking at some sort of a joint law enforcement entity to lease or even purchase the old ARF training site, the 12 acres out there. All in the college is actually in on that as well too.
Matt, who actually executed the lease with the county? The sheriff. Did he act the sheriff's department or go through the Board of County Commissioners?
I believe it went through the Board of County Commissioners.
So that's where you'll have to get.
Well, it's got to start.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if the sheriff is going to fight it, then the board probably would be a little apprehensive, but if it's the board's.
No, the sheriff is very favorable to me. Okay. When the timing is right.
Well, I think, we ought to, undertake, even a longer range approach to, and that would be a good one, securing that property back and bringing it back into the lease, because at one time that was designated on the master plan to be expansion for corporate hangars. And there was a fork of the corporate hangars that went up the middle of that. And we essentially prevented that from happening by just reserving that spot for perhaps airline operations or something that might occur. Meantime, the sheriff came along, they took it, but they took it originally, and then that obviously got changed on a short-term basis. But I believe they would be amenable to that because there's other sites on the field. That's a portable building that got moved once, it could probably get moved again. The flight operations, that may or may not be exactly the best place for them anyway, so on the other side of the airport could be good maybe for everybody.
So the ball is in their court as it relates to the ARF complex. We've given them all the information. It's just a matter of them coordinating amongst themselves and trying to figure out how they're going to come up with the money.
Continue to monitor that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All righty. The T-Hanger lease amendment, we met with the city attorney a couple times, and we're waiting for his final comments. They've had, I did not get an update from them recently. They've had some personal strife in their office, so giving them a little bit of space lately.
Yeah.
So, in my conversations with the city attorney, they don't see any issues with the amendments that we proposed.
Any amendments to refresh our memory in terms of the amendments?
Sure, it's basically allowing the aircraft maintenance that's currently going on in the T-hangers it basically matches the language of the T-hanger lease with the actual what's going on in the T-hangers now. With the maintenance inside the buildings. It prohibits any kind of painting or anything of that nature, and fixes some date issues, some other administrative clauses in the lease.
Okay.
Once it's finalized from the attorney, I'll bring it back to this board, so you'll see the actual document. On the annual report, Mr. Crawford and I, we met, discussed the report, and I made some revisions to it. The actual report is here. We included some language from the airport master plan. As Mr. Crawford noted, we're one of the only entities that actually has that kind of a long-range master plan within the city. As far as the department goes, 20 years out, that that provides that kind of detail, and so incorporating that into the master plan and the language thereof was important, so we did that. And council wanted to see it in August, so we forwarded it to them at their early August meeting. So we'll be doing this annually, so you'll get this report every year, probably in June or July every year.
Okay, everybody, I think remembers that the city council have requested that of every board and every commission to report on an annual basis.
Yep.
That's our answer. Our story, we're sticking to it.
That's our answer.
Fence.
Yes. We've executed the FAA grant. We submitted a grant application to FDOT and actually received two grants back from them on the fence and the ARF truck. Just a reminder, the ARF truck, the bid opening, the low bidder was E1 at $543,000 and change.
That's good.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
You wonder how a truck could cost that much.
And then the wildlife fence bid opening, Sterling Enterprises came in at $390,777. The breakdown of the finances are on the screen there. Basically, we got $881,900 from the FAA. The state gave us $47,000. So for the two projects, the combined cost for the airport will be just over $50,000.
Do you need a motion?
I would like a motion to accept the FDOT grants, since those will be going to council.
Second.
Got a motion and a second, any discussion? A lot of money to keep the gopher tortoises from digging underneath.
And the coyotes.
And the coyotes. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Assuming we get the grants back from FDOT after they're executed, we'll probably issue the notice to proceed in late September for both the truck and the wildlife funds.
Okay. New report, the equine facility.
Yes.
Feasibility study.
So this has been an ongoing conversation piece for decades. We actually at one time had a quarantine facility on the airport layout plan drawn. It was identified on the airport as being constructed on the southwest end of the airport, somewhat adjacent to the old ARF complex. The environment is such where the different equine disciplines are not so much in their own personal silos, so to speak. They're actually talking to each other. The Chamber Economic Partnership is facilitating that discussion. They're trying to have more of a cohesive voice in advertising the equine industry in Marion County. So you've got the Pasifinos, you've got the Thoroughbreds, the Jumpers. I'm missing a couple, I'm not a horse person. You get the idea. They're all talking to each other. And one of the big items that they can all benefit from is a quarantine facility where they can import the horses, quarantine them locally instead of quarantining them elsewhere and then shipping them here. It can all happen in Marion County. There's private money going into this feasibility study. The group that got the estimate thinks it's going to cost around $13,000. They've asked the airport to contribute, and I wanted to give this board an opportunity to talk about that. We've looked at our budget. We can absorb about a $2,000 contribution.
$13,000 buys them what, a study?
Buys them a feasibility study.
Okay.
It looks at the airport, how they can backfill the aircraft after the horses are dropped off, how they can find different market segments to backfill those airplanes to make it more financially viable to have a quarantine facility here, whether it's on the airport or off the airport.
Well, the idea of doing that, I don't remember how many times it's come up, but it's been looked at two or three, this may be the fourth time. It seems to make so much sense because right now those animals, it's not just horses, the other animals are quarantined in South Florida, Miami International.
Who would own the facility, the airport?
No, the city has no desire to own it or operate it. This would be a private venture.
We just lease the land?
If it were on the airport. There are
the benefit of the airport would be the fuel and
aircraft coming in and going. Yep.
Yeah.
There are some local thoroughbred farms that are interested in maybe hosting it. There's some property adjacent to the airport across the street that they're looking at, not at OBS. But OBS is a contributor to this study, financial contributor. They hadn't been in years past, so I think that speaks volumes as to
The momentum of the study. I think we ought to be a stakeholder. I'll move that we allocate $2,000 for the project.
Second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Excellent.
I think that's a reasonable contribution.
Gives us a seat at the table.
They know we're interested.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
Not a whole lot of money, but in the scheme of things. But the idea perhaps of locating on the airport, I would think, from our benefit on the other side of the airport, one of the things we're trying to do is find an excuse for developing the infrastructure on the west side, taxiway, some ramp space, the kind of things that would open up the west side of the airport to future development. So maybe perhaps that could be a catalyst and work toward, you know, the, at least a portion of the taxiway, or at least one exit for the taxiway, so that there could be a ramp that would be on the west side that could handle horses or whatever it handled, and then that would give you ready access to a lot of other things, or the beginning of access.
We have a lot of flexibility because of the property that is available for development. One of the aspects of this feasibility study is making the quarantine facility much more than just a quarantine facility, but say a one-stop shop for your equine needs, veterinarian type people, rehabilitation, training, tack shacks, all that kind of stuff. So trying to diversify their revenue to make everything balance out.
Well, I would be, but there is an economic benefit to the community in terms of the facility, the quarantine facility, because you're talking cattle, you're talking other kinds of animals and so forth. So limiting it to horses but I don't think the other services necessarily, that there's a lot of vets already, there's a lot of tack shops, there's whatever, but that was what developed.
Let them look at it.
Let them look at it. But the property over there is a long term, and part of it set aside for Airside. It's a long term opportunity for us. So, just like we've talked about before, there's been an effort to speed that up and try to do something immediately. And I think history's shown that sitting and waiting, you know, probably sometimes a good thing. It's a good opportunity, and the right one will come along. And this could be help catalyze that.
Indeed. Moving on, we have a request from Besalu. They're in the green hangar, the old Taylor Bean Whitaker hangar. They just completed a $250,000 capital improvement on the hangar. They, you're probably not aware, but they've acquired a Global Express. It's part of their fleet, and so they had to widen the door of the hangar to accommodate their aircraft. It's a wonderful airplane. It's painted to match the rest of their fleet. It's great. We're happy to have it here. It splits its time between here and Miami. They've requested an additional 14 years on their lease. It will essentially give them a total of 40 years from today's date. The current lease commenced in February of 2003, and that was with Taylor Beeman Whitaker. Besalu acquired the hangar. Through an amended and restated lease in November of 2009, changed the language and some of the terms, the way that the CPI was calculated, and then of course the actual owner of the hangar. It currently expires in 2043. With the 14-year extension, it will expire in 2057. This type of an extension, we've approved them in the past when tenants have invested capital into their property here on the airport. We'd like to see more of that. This is consistent with what's been done in the past, so staff recommends your approval.
What is our criteria for doing that? I mean, what's to prevent me, if I have a hangar, all of a sudden somebody else gets that, I come to the city, and you know, the idea behind the original intent when we did hangars was, at some point in time, they reverted to the city. That would be the ground leased and did that. I don't know that that's right or fair or whatever, but that's how it's done in a lot of places. I defer to Mr. Klein, who's an attorney, but that was the original premise of how we started the first corporate hangar lease.
Do we have anything in our lease that would require the tenant to remove the improvements if we so elect? And the reason for that is, in 40 years, who knows what it will look like, the maintenance, whether it would be better to have bare ground at that point than it would be.
Well, and
I think that's something the city ought to consider putting in their leases, because the cost of demolition, there's a lot of towers around here that are going to be very expensive when the technology changes and they're no longer necessary, and the landowner has a damn big old cell tower that they're going to have to take down.
Yes. It It does not currently have that in the lease. At the expiration of the lease term, the improvements revert back to the city.
I think that's something that the city ought to consider adding. When you go out 40 years, you know, I don't know what the useful life of those buildings is. 40 years may be young.
You talk about optional revert back.
Well, optional. The city's optional. Now, sometimes it's meaningless to have a clause in there when you got a single asset entity, and they go, all right, make me. Because there's no money.
Mm-hmm.
No money, no way to enforce it, except to escrow the costs, and a few tenants will agree to that.
We want to make it to where it's, we want people to build hangars on the field.
So yeah, and you're assuming that in 40 years, it'll be something of value.
Yeah. Well, a building like that is just something to keep the weather out anyway. Yeah. I mean, really, that's all it does, is keep the rain out.
Yes. Some of these corporate hangars, though, have pretty extensive offices mm-hmm. attached to them.
Right.
This one is
a
lot. But I will speak to our city attorney and recommend.
I gotta say, unless it's got some teeth in it,
it's
pretty maybe worthless. I'll move the requested extension.
Second.
Got a motion?
Got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
You look like you were thinking about something.
No, I just was waiting on
something. Okay. We were waiting for you to say something profound.
I was just, you're rolling the dice, whether, like Randy said, is there any value really left there at the end? But if there is, you certainly don't want to tear it down. But if it's a pain and you want to expand your...
Well, the original intent was based on a shorter time frame. So you figured in 20 or 25 years, it would still be pretty
good.
Like you said, it was a shade and weather kind of provision, and you know, hangars that last a long time if they're used to be taken care of.
So 40 years ago, out here, you probably had Quonset huts left.
You could keep moving. Too. So, mm-hmm. But the offices could be ripped out. I mean, I think that's fine. As long as there's some uniformity in terms of, we ought to have a policy, and we ought to have it well defined in terms of how we grant extensions, the whole process of hangar leases and the length of them, all of the terms of them and so forth should be uniform, and when somebody comes to you, you should be able to look and say, here's our policy on that.
We do have a lease policy. It does limit the term to 40 years on the aviation side. And we establish the rental rates at via appraisals and whatnot. Yeah.
Well, if somebody wants to re-up for 40 years and they put capital improvements in, I would say that's a great time to do something like that.
It is. So moving on to the operations, June was down 413 compared to June of 16. Almost all the traffic lost due to a decrease in the itinerant VFR traffic. However, July was the best July on record since the tower opened. It's been a weird year. We've had a few record-breaking months and a few months that have really tanked for weather, you know, wind or rain or whatnot. Year to date, though, we are 1,256 below where we were this time last year, 16 operationally, or down 3.4%. So, there's still quite a few months left to catch that up, so we'll see how it goes then.
Is there a way to, I assume that's all reported for peer airports, could we look at Gainesville?
Yes.
You know, the other towered airports within, mm-hmm. say, 50, 75, maybe 100 miles, 50, 75 miles at least, because, you know, Lake City, Gainesville, Ocala, Chris Brooksville.
Leesburg, Brooksville, and Gainesville would be our best indicators, not necessarily Lake City because their towers.
Their
tower operations or hours operations are not consistent. But I'd be happy to examine that and report back. See where everyone
you only
is.
Have three airports there. If you can expand it to others, that well, I don't know.
Bartow's got a tower. I don't know how they operate. Bartow. They've had a tower.
They've had a tower for a long time.
Yeah.
We can look at Bartow.
But that would give us some kind of feel for how we're doing relative to our peer group.
Yeah.
We all established a peer group, and maybe it's three airports. Maybe it's four if you can sandwich another one in. The more the merrier, I would think. But
sure.
If we watch those on a quarterly basis or something, we can kind of, you know, our numbers in a vacuum don't really give you much of an understanding.
I understand. On the fuel report, we are year to date, we're down on the avgas side, which makes sense with our operations being down, but on the jet fuel side, we are up 16% over where we were this time last year. Overall, year to date, our total fuel sales, we're up 11.5%.
That probably has something to do with corporate operators coming and going regardless of the weather. And it's been, the last couple of months have been thunderstorm city, so.
Yes.
That slows GA, you know, the VFR GA down a lot.
Mm-hmm. But the jet fuel is certainly an indicator of the economy. They're doing quite well. Mm-hmm. 32.8% increase in jet fuel sales in July, just for the month of July, over July of 2016. Big numbers.
Was there some reason for that, or just business activities?
Just business.
Okay, good.
Shock effect.
That concludes my report.
Okay. Thank you very much. Are there any persons in the audience wishing to appear or having something they would like to add?
I was just going to say a little update with the security system change. We put everything together for that, and then we sent that to the state, and we hear the official way back from the state on what the rate is. It's favorable at this point. So we'll get that money from the state, and we'll get that project started, and we'll get the escape meters changed out.
Some upgraded systems and cameras.
Yeah. We'll talk more about that as it goes, but that looks favorable.
That's good. The cameras have gotten a lot better. So, you know, some of the cameras that are out there are so crude that you get pictures, and if you really need to be, you can't tell really what happened because the quality of the cameras are so bad.
Well,
we had some of those in our place, and yeah. Started changing them out to ones that you can actually tell who's in the picture.
Well, these are all broadcast wirelessly back to a home port, and this new project will hardwire all of those in. I think we'll get much better serviceability and reliability out of these cameras.
And when lightning strikes one, it'll get them all.
Yeah, it seems like it does anyway.
Okay.
Thanks, Chairman. I've got one.
That was.
Go ahead. This afternoon, or 6:30 tonight, we're having a presentation on the history of the Ocala Airport. Eddie Martin's going to be talking about the old Ocala Airport, later airport. Matt's going to talk about the future of Ocala. Bill's going to tell us a little bit about the tower operations, and I'm going to go into the businesses that are here on the airport. The primary purpose of it is to award Eddie the Wright Pilot Award, which is the most prestigious award the FAA gives out to civilian pilots. And the FAA will be here at the radio stations. We're going to have one here, we're going to have the newspaper here tonight. So if you get the opportunity to drop in and do that. Eddie does not know he's getting this at this point in time, and we'd like to keep it that way.
What time is that?
6:30.
How long do you think the program will last?
Probably an hour at the most, hour and a half. It's going to be a quick program. Okay. Eddie, it depends on how long he comes. You never know. We're not going to give him a beer ahead of time.
No beer.
All right.
In the unlikely event that any of you don't know, might not know Eddie Martin. I've been privileged to know Eddie for over 50 years. That we've been partners in an airplane or two. He still occupies my hangar since he doesn't have an airplane, so that he watches my steerman. But Eddie has been flying. He learned to fly right after World War II in the 46, 47, in a program that the city, or actually the school system, offered a kind of a DCT type training after high school, and where he came from, but. He grew up next to the Dunellen Air Base, which is the Dunellen Airport, and he was younger, and the Tampa Tribune person came because it was a bicycle out front, wanted to see if the his mother, they had a son that might want to deliver the papers to the base. So Eddie, when he was like 13 years old, was the paper boy to an air base with 4,000 or 5,000 troops coming and going through it. And he grew up around the Del Allen Airport. So he has a, I've been over there with him, and he knows where every revetment and every foundation, and I mean, he knows the history of aviation in Marion County perhaps better than anybody. He's a heck of a nice guy. So if you have a chance to come, I'd encourage you. He's, and he's got more, there's no question, he's got more hours in the air over in Marion County than probably any other living human being. Because when he had an airplane, every day he flew, mm-hmm. and he never went very far.
So every day.
Every day.
Every day.
So he's got, and he's only been doing that for 50 years. So he's got a lot of hours totally almost in there. He's flown a lot of other places, but I'd encourage you to come. He's a great guy.
It'll be a good time.
Refreshments will be served.
Tail ones will be open.
Come on, you cheap bastards.
we had one more responder.
Just want to, Ken Whitehead, Assistant City Manager of the City of Cal. Gentlemen, I just want to thank you for your advice, your counsel, your expertise on the airport terminal. Not being an aviator, I really look for people that are in the business to tell me what we need. And we have a great product. I'm so excited about this terminal. It's going to be fantastic, in large part to your advice. And that's why we have advisory boards. I know Matt has thanked you before. I just want to add that and say thanks.
Thank you very much. I thank you.
We would just double our salary again.
Sounds like a good opportunity. Would you like to make that a motion? Double our salary?
Double our salary.
Our salaries have been doubled, everybody.
All right.
All right. So, was anybody else that had anything they'd like to add? Okay. Having none, any individual comments by board members? Hearing none, motion for adjournment?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Good. Thank you.
We stand adjourned. Thank you very much. Appreciate
you. You got everything you wanted today.